السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم جماعة. That's more like it. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. Tonight, inshallah ta'ala, we're still continuing from hadith from the book of At-Taqwa, Riyadh al-Salihin, the chapter on piety and righteousness. Short hadith, a dua from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to teach us about taqwa. In this hadith number 71, an Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardah, anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqul, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-t-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. رواه مسلم. اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى. In this narration, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, part of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, used to say in the translation, O Allah, I ask you for guidance, piety, chastity, and self-sufficiency. Four things. I ask you for guidance, for piety, which is righteousness, for chastity, and self-sufficiency. Why are these so important that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them in one single line? And the fact that the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah Azza wa Jal in one single line for these four issues, four matters, that shows the value of these things. The value of guidance, the value of piety, the value of chastity, and the value of being self-sufficient from the need to anybody. So these are the four matters. Number one, al-huda, guidance. I mean, I don't have to emphasize the importance of guidance, jama'ah, because we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance every single day in every single rak'ah of your salah. Don't you say in Surah Al-Fatiha, ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path? Enough, you know, emphasis on the meaning of that. And what is guidance over here? Some ulama, specifically, they said guidance means knowledge. What does that even mean? Because if you have the knowledge for something, you've been given the guidance about it, right? If you have the knowledge about who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how to worship Allah azza, how to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have that guidance. So some ulama specifically said it's knowledge. And it's the only thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask more from. When he says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي Ilma, Ya Allah, increase me in knowledge. So that's the only thing he was asked to ask more from. And here when he says, al-huda, I ask you for guidance, means the knowledge that will give me that guidance. That's one interpretation. But the other interpretation, which is more inclusive, like guidance in every aspect of my life, in everything. When I make my decisions, I want to have guidance. When I pray, with guidance. When I learn, with guidance. When I deal with my enemies, with guidance. In all aspects of my life, Ya Allah, I ask you to give me guidance. So you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And obviously, if you're guided, what does that mean? The result of guidance is what, the jama'ah? Is khayr in everything. The result of guidance is khayr in everything. We spoke about different categories of guidance. But if we would like to emphasize on one thing, knowing that guidance also, it's something that you need to keep asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for until you die. Never stop asking Allah for guidance. Why is that, a jama'ah? Because in any moment, what could happen to you? Al-qalb, called qalb, why? Which means, because it keeps flipping. Qalb yataqallab, which means it's vulnerable and it keeps flipping. So therefore, today, subhanAllah, we are on the path of guidance. Tomorrow, Allah musta'an, we just switch paths. La qaddar Allah. Somebody who is completely misled, and then subhanAllah, in one moment, their heart flips and Allah subhanAllah gives them guidance. You need to continue ask Allah for guidance. That's why Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he said that guidance comes in three categories. Al-hidayah ila al-sirat, wal-hidayah fi al-sirat, wal-hidayah ala al-sirat. So you need to ask Allah guidance ila al-sirat, to guide you to the straight path. And to guide you ala al-sirat, to stay on the straight path, not to leave it. And to guide you fi sirat, which means as you walk through it, you know where to go, not to go to different, actually, other ways on the path. So you always ask Allah for guidance. That's number one. Number two, wat-tuqa, piety and righteousness. And the ulama, they define righteousness. Here usually the translation said fear of Allah Azza wa Jal when they say taqwa. But actually, taqwa is much more than that. The word taqwa is a preventive measure, which means you have a barrier between you and everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made prohibited. And also making sure that you always stay within the limits. That's what taqwa is. That's when Talqa ibn Habib was asked about taqwa, what did he say? He goes, have you ever been in a path that was thorny and you have all these bushes around? He goes, yeah. He goes, what did you do when you want to walk through? He goes, I grab my thobe, and I watch where I put my steps. Like, I don't want my thobe to get attached to any of these shrubs. And I watch where I put my feet. He goes, that's taqwa. That's the definition of taqwa. You're always careful where you put your words, where you make your actions, where you put your eyes, what do you listen, what do? You always watch where you put your steps in that fashion. And taqwa is again a shield that protects you from violating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules and limits. And if you're being given taqwa, jama'ah, what does that mean? That's the ultimate success. Allah said in the dunya, وَالْعَقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, that eventually the end result will be in favor of the muttaqin. وَإِنَّمَا يَتَقَبَّلُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْمُتَّقِينَ, Allah accepts only from the righteous, the pious one. So at-taqwa is what you really need to accomplish in this dunya. Then he says, والعفاف, chastity. And chastity comes in regards to staying away from everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made haram. Whether it's fornication, zina, drinking, anything that's haram. But specifically, al-iffa usually comes actually avoiding that which is considered of the lowly actions, sinful actions. Like, you know, just kind of like cheating, stealing, petty thefts, for example, committing zina, fornication, watching stuff, and all these kind of things. And you need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you afaf, chastity against all these behaviors. Also, a zina in all its formats. Because the Prophet said, Aynu tazni, the eye will commit zina, the ear commits zina, the hand commits zina. In every actions, it might be falling into, some of those actions might lead to the actual fornication or adultery. So therefore, you ask Allah to protect you from all these actions that might lead to the actual fahisha. And then may Allah protect us from the Rabbil Alameen. And the al-iffa gives the person what, ya jama'ah? Shining yani light in their face. When someone is mashallah afif, his chest, they don't really commit these things, they don't look at these aspects. They're always, alhamdulillah, have the good akhlaq and the manners. You can see it in their face. You can see that on their face. But if they all will pursue their desires, what happens? That light is taken away from them. They're always feeling guilty, remorseful, they're feeling shy, they're feeling, you know, embarrassed. You don't see that shyness on their face. So if you would like to have that shyness on your face, avoid these things, and Allah subhanahu will give you that light. May Allah give us all that light, ya Rabbil Alameen. And the last one is qal wal ghina. The last one, al-ghina. And al-ghina, to be self-sufficient, which is the translation or the literal translation for the word ghina is what, ya jama'ah? To be what? Rich. What does being rich mean? When you're rich, what does that mean? You don't need anybody. How can you be, you know, in a situation when you don't need anybody? That means you have so much enough that you don't need anybody. Especially when it comes to wealth. Wealth, finances, physical ability, alhamdulillah, mental ability, strong, you know, with personality. In many ways, I need nobody. Although it's like impossible for human beings to be at that level, but self-sufficiency is everybody what they look for. Because you don't need anyone to have a favor upon you. Otherwise, you feel enslaved to them. And I don't know if you remember, we mentioned about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah calls himself in that regard, what does he call himself? Al-Ghani. In Arabic language, there are two words for wealthy. There's Ghani and there is Thari. Thari from Tharwa, wal-Ghani min al-Ghina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never called himself Thari. But he calls himself what? Ghani. Al-Ghani. Why is that? Because Al-Thari comes from wealth. Means you define yourself through that wealth. But that wealth, even though you have so much of it, it might not give you the satisfaction to feel self-sufficient. You're always afraid to lose it. You're always freaking out, you know, if people are going to steal it from you. And you don't feel confident that, you know, this wealth is going to help you with this. So that wealth doesn't help at all. Yes, you have all the money, but they don't feel satisfaction. And sometimes people, unfortunately, they end their lives because of that, not satisfied with that. So a thari doesn't necessarily mean they're ghani. But if you're ghani, even if you have nothing in terms of cash and money, you still have that kind of self-sufficiency and independence from the people. And that's what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. However, you have to keep in mind, you can never be completely and absolute in life of self-sufficiency. Because Allah designed us in a way to need each other. You need to get married, so you need your spouse. You need to have the desire to procreate and have the satisfaction of being a father, a mother. The need to, you know, for the people to work with and work for you and work for them. The need to save something with some, so we need each other. So that self-sufficiency is not in terms of needing people for, in that regard, rather in the heart. Like, I still need your help, but I depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate that for me, not you. That's how you become self-sufficient. My attachment is to Allah azza wa jal, even though I still need that money from you or that work to be done by you or finishing my job here and there. I still need that from you, but alhamdulillah, my attachment, my heart is tied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah azza wa jal give us all al-huda, wal-tuqa, wal-afafa, wal-ghina. Let's repeat this dua together, jama'ah, inshaAllah ta'ala. Allahumma, inni as'aluka al-huda, wal-tuqa, wal-afafa, wal-ghina. Allahumma, inni as'aluka al-huda, wal-tuqa, wal-afafa, wal-ghina. اللهم إني أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. نعم. Yes, and the definition of someone contemporary definition of the word taqwa is to be mindful of Allah Azza at all time. Because if you are mindful of Allah, that becomes like a barrier for you to violate any of these rules. So what's that one of those contemporary translations? Before it was always mostly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in reality, it's actually being mindful of Allah Azza. Wallahu a'lam. Of course. Al-iffa to be not the need of these desires through the people. True.